Well, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
And it's already been said, Happy New Year to each one of you. Trust that we'll have a great year this year in the Lord, and we will in the Lord, I'm sure. But it's good to be back in the Lord's house. Good to see you here today. On the first day of 2012, it's a great, hope you've had a good day so far. And I appreciate again you being here with us this morning. It's good to be back up here. It's good to see all you smiling faces. And trusting God for a good time today. Take your Bibles and turn with us again back to the book of Ephesians. We're going to do a little reviewing this morning, first of all. And then we'll get into some things that we haven't talked about. But in the book of Ephesians, we're teaching January on Ephesians, February, of course, will be Stewardship Month. I'd say, first of all, I appreciate Brother Money in the last lessons for the last 3-4 months. He's done an outstanding job teaching us about Gilgad and how we need to be reminded of some things in our life. We need to be some marks that that remind us of things that have happened in our lives. And I hope you made your resolutions today already. Have you thought about it? Sometimes someone said they're just made to break, and that's about all the reason they're made sometimes. But nevertheless, we need to resolve today to do something, as Brother Tyler's already mentioned, to make sure that our walk and our talk is our walk. It's what it ought to be. Those things that are behind us, we need to forget about them. And press on, like Paul says, you know, and make this a new year. This is a new day the Lord's given to us, and I trust that it'll be a great day in God's house. So let's pray together, and then we'll review a little bit in Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3, and get into chapter 4. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for life. Thank you to God for the privilege to be together once again. Lord, as we start this new year, God, we thank you for everyone that's here today. We pray for those that are hindered and can't be here for whatever reason, those that may be traveling, wherever they are, I pray you protect them, God, and help them to be back next week. So, Father, we commit now this time that you've given to us to you. And God, we ask you now, may the Spirit of God lead and guide us in all that we say and all that we do today. Lord, may your people be encouraged. God, we know that we're living in a sinful world, but Lord, we know we have a big God to help us, Lord, and no matter the situations that we face in our life, and surely, Lord, we need you more than ever. As we sing that little chorus every Sunday, Lord, I'm so reminded Christ is all we need. And God, we're thankful that we have him in our heart and our life, the Holy Spirit that indwells us to lead and guide and direct us every day of our life. Thank you for the precious word now that we have to read, to study together. And Lord, your word is our food spiritually. God, may we be fed today, Lord, from it. That we might be strengthened today. God, that we might have the wisdom, that we might have the ability. Lord, that when we do go out in the world to stand, and Lord, may our lives be count for you this year more than ever before. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In the book of Ephesians, we've been studying, of course, chapters 1, 2, and 3, about the position of the Christian. Paul, of course, is the writer. Paul's in jail, in prison, in Rome, when he's writing this book. And he's writing, first of all, we find in chapter 1, verse 1, he's writing to the saints at Ephesus. He's writing also to all Christians, all Christians. And so this is a letter to you. This is a letter to me. As a believer, Paul is writing here, and he's trying to let us know some things about, first of all, our position in Christ. Our position in Christ is very important. We talked about that in the first 3 chapters. Now, we know that God has a plan for the Christian believer, all of us. He has a plan for us in our life. We know, first of all, he wants us to know who we are. In Christ. He wants us to know what Christ has done for us as a believer. It's so important to know in whom you have believed and be persuaded that you know who you have believed, knowing that he's able to keep that that you have committed to him against that day. So it's very important that we realize this. We talked about in chapter 1 the blessings of God. Paul talks about this, not only the blessings of God, but also the knowledge of God and also the power of God. These are our positions in Christ as believers today. I'm grateful for that. We also, Paul talks about in chapter 2 about the life of the believer. Our life before we were Christian. Chapter 2 in Ephesians is a very, very important passage of Scripture. John 3 and Ephesians 2 to me are two of the most important chapters in the Bible to help us to see who we are and what Christ has done for us and what God wants to do for us. We talked about our life without Christ, who we are, sinners, undone, on our way to a devil's hell. We also talked about, Paul did in chapter 2, about the work of God's mercy and the work of God's grace. Oh, I thank God today for his grace and his mercy, working in our lives, enabling us to become children of God by faith. He also talked about the peace that God gives us as his children when we accept Christ as our Savior. Reflect back to the day, the time that you trusted Christ as your Savior and you invited him into your heart and your life. I'm reminded of the peace that God gave me, a peace that I'd never known before. God gave me when I trusted Christ as my Savior. He also talks about that now the purpose for you and I as a believer, our purpose in this life here as believers. We are, I said before, God is trying to create, Jesus Christ is trying to create a new body of people in this world that will live for him and that will serve him, a new body of people. And we, this is who we are. We are that new body. And he talks about the maturity, how we are to grow in Christ. So the life, the Christian life, begins by a step of faith, first of all. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian life also involves growth, growing daily in the Word of God, growing daily in the Lord. And also the Christian walk demands strength that only God can give us. Folks, where does that strength come from? Come from the Lord, but how does he give us that strength today? It's through the Word of God that we have. Without the Word of God, we will falter, we will fail, we'll stumble. And even when we do stumble and fall, thank God we still have the Word of God to lift us up and to encourage us in our walk with the Lord. So we see that this is very important today. So we see now, as we look at the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters, first of all, I said that there are three words that summarize, if you please, the book of Ephesians. The first one is found in Ephesians chapter 2. Look at it. Ephesians chapter 2. Again, we're reviewing right now. Ephesians chapter 2. The first word that summarizes Ephesians. As far as we look at it, our position in Christ as Christians. In other words, learn what we learn by our position, what we have in Christ Jesus. We have everything in him, folks. We really do. But what do we have? First of all, we find in Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse number 6. Ephesians 2, verse number 6. Again, the Bible says, Paul says here, and hath raised us up together and made us what? Sit together. He's raised us up together and made us sit together where? In heavenly places. In who? Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. We find here the first word that summarizes Ephesians is sitting. The believer is seated with Christ in the heavenlies. See, we are heavenly people. You realize that? If you're saved this morning, you are a heavenly person. That's why we are strangers in this world. That's why we're pilgrims in this world. Because we know this world is not our home. There's a better place for us. That's why we feel odd in this world sometimes when we're out and about, you see. Because we're heavenly people. We're seated in Christ. We're seated in Christ. And therefore, if it makes us a different person today. So I'm thankful this morning for the teachings of Paul here as he teaches all Christians, as he's portraying here our position in Christ in chapters 1, 2, and 3 in the book of Ephesians here. Now, I want you to notice, go over down to chapter number 4. Chapter number 4, we begin something new. We talk about the position of the Christian. Now, as Howard was saying this morning, now we're going to talk about the practice of the Christian. You know, it's one thing to say I'm a Christian, but it's another thing to practice being a Christian, to live the Christian life. I mean, that's a challenge, isn't it? It is in this world in which we live. But it's a challenge that God will help us to accomplish. And only He can help us accomplish it in our life. So we now look in chapter 4, we're going to talk about, Paul was talking about here the walk of the Christian or the practice of a Christian. We've learned what we have, okay, our position in Christ in the first three chapters. Now the last three chapters in Ephesians here, we're going to look at live what you've learned. Live what you've learned. Now, if we're not living right, chances are maybe we haven't learned much, brothers, sisters. But what we've learned, we need to live it. We need to live it. We need to abide it. Put it in our lives, you see, and let it be real to us. In verse 1 of chapter 4, Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk, how? Worthy of the what? Vocation wherewith ye are what? Called. Paul says, I therefore, in other words, for this reason, chapter 1, 2, and 3, for these reasons, for this reason, he says, I therefore, the practice of the Christian here, since God has done so much for me, since God has done so much for you, not only that, but since God has revealed to me His plan of salvation, He saved me. Not only that, but since God has called us into the kingdom of His and also imparted into us His mercy, His grace in our life, since this has taken place in our life, Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. That word beseech is to ask earnestly, ask sincerely. I ask you sincerely, Paul says. I ask you, as a believer, as a Christian, sincerely, he says here, that you walk worthy. Worthy means deserving. Deserving. Do I deserve to be called a Christian? Do you deserve to be called a Christian? If we deserve it, we're walking worthy of the fact that we are a Christian, we are a believer, you see. Paul says, I therefore, now notice, he says also, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Ye are called. Now, that word called is a very important word here. Called means to be bid or means to be called forth. Called forth as a Christian. There are many means whereby God calls us as individuals into His kingdom. There are many things that God uses to call us to become a Christian. Now, I want us to notice them, first of all, this morning. A vocation is a way of life, isn't it? Our way of life. As a Christian, there's a certain way of life that we should live. We should live a certain way. The Bible way. The Bible way. And we find here now that talking about being called. Paul says that you've been called, where you are called. I want us to notice how, what means has God used to call you and to call me into this great vocation of a Christian, to live the Christian life? I want to ask you something. How many of you were saved in a church service? Raise your hand. In a church service, okay? Okay, The rest, I assume, we've got about a 50% class here. 50 were, 50 were not. Majority of people probably are saved in a church, have been saved. Probably less today than ever, but what I'm talking about is this. One means that God uses, the greatest means, I think, that God uses to call people into the vocation of a Christian is the preaching of the Word. The preaching of the Word of God. I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians, back, I should say, to 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I know without the preaching of the Word of God, I know without the Word of God, there is no faith, because the Bible tells us that. It's the faith comes from the Word of God, preaching the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse number 17. Verse 17. The first means whereby God used, what God used to enable you and to enable me to come into this great vocation of a Christian was the preaching of the Word. The preaching of the Word of God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to what? Preach. What? The gospel. To preach the gospel. He sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. See, it wasn't with wisdom that Paul preached. His wisdom, but it was the wisdom that God gave him about the gospel. That's what does the thing. Verse number 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It's the power of God, the preaching of the word. That's what enables us to be called into the great family of God, the preaching of the word of God. That's why we need to be patient, folks, with people that come, strangers that come into our church. They need to hear the Word of God. I mean, time and time and time and time again. I think myself, how many times I heard the Word of God talk to me and preach to me before I become a Christian? Oh, my. God was really merciful to me. Long-suffering to me, Word. And the fact that He let me have the opportunity many times to hear the Word of God talk and preach to me. But we find here we need to be patient with people because it's the Word of God that brings forth faith in our minds and in our hearts, and we respond accordingly, you see. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which is are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, verse 19, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God is for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of what? Preaching to what? Save them that believe. It's the preaching of the gospel that saves them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we, what? Preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, foolishness. But unto them which are called, notice that word, but unto them which are what? Called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Excuse me. For you see your what? Calling. Your calling. There it is again. For your calling, brother, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolishness of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. So we see here the first means that God has used to call us into the family of God is the preaching of the Word of God. The preaching of the Word of God. Now, Maybe 50% of you were saved in church. That's why this pulpit and this sanctuary is so important. There's something about it, folks. There's something about the pulpit. That's where the truths are made known to us. Truths are made known to us. I still, and I know you do, respect this place up here. It's a pulpit. It's a place that we hear the truth from God's Word. Every time we come in here, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, it's presented to us. I thank God for the truth that I hear from behind the pulpit, from the man of God, our pastor, that preaches and that teaches us the Word of God. That's what enables us to be called, folks. And it's a sanctuary where we are. This is a place set aside that we can hear the truth. We can hear the truth, you see. There's no place like it. There's no place like it. I mean, we can go in the gym, and we were in the gym for a while where we're not. And that was a great place to be. But there's something about the sanctuary when we come together. It's a sacred place. There's peace and quietness in the sanctuary, you see, when the preaching of the Word is going on, you see. It's a place that's set aside for this, you see. So the preaching of the Word is so important. We find the conscience and the heart are brought to reflection here. In other words, God deals with our minds, God deals with our hearts through the preaching of the Word of God. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. It amazes me how every one of our lives are different. Every one of us have different needs in our lives. But when the truth is presented from this pulpit, from God's pulpit, how God's truth can penetrate into the life of every one of us and meet our individual needs. Now, only God can do that. Only God can do that. And He does it. He does it every service. If we come with a heart right and a desire to hear from God, and God asking God to move in us and do in our lives what we want done. He does that. I'm glad for that. See, it's the Holy Spirit that makes use of the Word that's preached in a variety of ways. In a variety of ways. It's God's Holy Spirit. So we see here the first means that we are called into the kingdom or the vocation of a Christian is by the preaching of the Word of God. The preaching of the Word of God. Another means God uses is providence. Providence. By that I mean, first of all, it could be sickness. I've known people that through sickness in their lives, invaded their lives, maybe themselves or their families, God used that to help them to come to Christ. You've known that too, I'm sure, of people that he got sick because of it. And because of that, God was already working, no doubt. God was already working. But when this came into their lives, it brought reality to them. You know? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my loved one, you see? And they come to Christ. Not only sickness, but also death. Death sometimes really begins to move and deal with people's hearts, especially when it's a close relative, somebody real close to them. God uses death to penetrate into the hearts and lives of people and call them into this great vocation of being a Christian. That is providence. Sometimes it's even just conversation. When somebody has heard the Word of God, they've been to Sunday school, they've been to church, they've been taught, they've been preached the Word of God, but yet they just haven't never trusted Christ as Savior. Sometimes it's just, you know, the Word has been sown, the Word has been watered, and all of a sudden you come along and just have a good conversation about the Lord, about the gospel, and what happens? They get saved. They get saved. See, so sometimes it's just our conversation. A godly conversation means so much sometimes in the lives of somebody. I know we have been visiting on occasions and knock on doors, and tonight the people just open the door and let us come in. So you know, welcome us in. We get out and sit and talk about them, and they say, you know, God sent you. You know, you've heard that too, I'm sure, in visitation. God sent you tonight. Had the opportunity to maybe lead them to Christ, or had the opportunity to encourage them to get in church or something, you know. So sometimes it's just our conversation that enables other people to be called by God into this great vocation of a Christian. And then, of course, it's the reading always, the reading of the Word of God that penetrates into the lives of people. See, the Bible is the great tool that we use, the Bible. Folks, without the Bible, we are nothing. We have nothing. This is our authority that we present to people to try to help them to come to Christ and trust Christ as their personal Savior. So we see, who can estimate the number of those saved by the reading of the Word? Some people get saved by reading a tract. By reading a tract. With the Word of God there, of course. It penetrates to their heart. Now, this is not the first time they've heard it, I'm sure. This is not the first time they've been presented it. But it is a means whereby God uses to call them. I thank God for the calling. Listen, if you're saved today, you've been called. You've been called. God has knocked on your door, and you answered. You responded. God called you. And it was through the preaching of the Word. It was through the providence of God. It was through maybe a conversation. It might have been through the reading of the Bible. But the Spirit of God called you into His family. Now thank God for the vocation that He's given us as children of God. The Spirit directs us. The Spirit directs us. Now notice back in Chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Wherewith ye are called. Don't forget that. We are called by the Spirit of God. We're called by the Word of God as it's presented to us in the way God would have it to be presented. Now notice here, the way to walk worthy. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of vocation where you are called. We've been through this. I'm just reviewing. How do we walk worthy? He tells us in verse number 2. He tells us in verse number 2 how we're to do this. With lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another in love is very, very important here. I entreat you to walk this way. See, now, the believer must walk with lowliness. Humility, I said, reaps a lot of benefits. It reaps a lot of benefits in our lives. Humility requires an honest evaluation of oneself. Evaluating our own selves, the way God looks at us, how God looks at us when we look at ourselves also. It comes from knowing ourselves. It takes courage to look at ourselves. It takes courage to evaluate ourselves sometimes. And say, where am I standing? What am I doing? What should I be doing? You know, changing sometimes is very, very important. It motivates others to grow also to do more when we do this. Humility requires courage to be honest about ourselves and also to give ourselves to the cause of others and the cause of Christ. Humility. To walk with all lowliness is very important. Also with meekness. That's a strong state of mind. Strong state of mind. You see, a strong self-control, meekness. Being able to control ourselves in this walk as a Christian, you see. You ever do something and regret that you did it? I think we've all been there. You know, that's meekness when we have control of ourselves. Have control in our lives and not let our flesh get out of control here. But with meekness, lowliness, and with long-suffering, the Bible says. You ever notice that long-suffering never strikes back? It never strikes back. Long-suffering, we see, is the heart of God. Look how long-suffering God was to me. Look how long-suffering He was to you. Before you and I became a Christian, you see. He today, look at His long-suffering towards this world. My, listen, we can only say, except for the long-suffering of God, this world was being already destroyed. We see His long-suffering, how He's not willing that any should perish. Someone said, why don't the Lord come? He said He's been coming for over 2,000 years. He ain't come back. It's because of His long-suffering. He wants people to be saved. He loves people. He's withholding, if you please, the judgment from this world today because of his love and his grace. He's withholding it. Thank God today for long-suffering. We as believers must walk with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another in love. That means tolerating one another. Forbearing one another in love. Loving the ungodly. Loving those that are unworthy. You know, the truth of the matter is all of us are unworthy to be loved. Really. We're all unworthy to be loved. But I'm so glad, aren't you? I'm so glad that God so loved me. God so loved you. That Jesus Christ came to die for us. What a lovely Savior, wonderful Savior we have, folks, that he would do that for you and I. Yes, we must walk forbearing one another in love as God's children. Love for even our enemies. Our enemies. You mean Christians have enemies? Oh, yes, we do. I'm sure we all do. But we're to love them. We're to love our enemies. Love them anyway, you know. Love is something about loving someone that's your enemy that will just get to their hearts. It'll get to their hearts. It will love them in spite of them, you know. I'm grateful for that today. So we find that the believer must walk forbearing one another in love. Also, we see the purpose for walking worthy. Why should I walk worthy as a Christian? Why should you walk worthy as a Christian, if this is a vocation that you're in today? First of all, every person is precious in the sight of God. Brother Tower was saying about these people that pulled in the churchyard after whatever they did. They're not thinking about what they're doing. They don't have much purpose in what they're doing. Because when we walk worthy, we realize that everybody is precious in the sight of God. Amen. It doesn't matter the nationality, it doesn't matter their color, their age, it doesn't matter anything. Everybody is precious in the sight of God. And God loves everybody. And therefore, we must be reminding of that. This is our purpose for walking worthy. Every person approaches God the same way. I didn't get saved one way and you another. We all got saved the same way. Acknowledging that we're sinners, asking God to forgive us and come into our heart and save us. That's the whole key, folks. Believe that Jesus died and he paid the price for you and I when he died on Calvary. The purpose for walking worthy. Why should I walk worthy? You're in a vocation, folks. I'm in a vocation. It's called a Christian. And God wants us to walk worthy of that, deserving that. Do I deserve? You've heard the statement before. If you or I was put in jail because we've been called a Christian, would there be enough evidence in our life to prove us innocent? Would there be enough evidence in our life to prove us the fact that we are Christians, you see? The purpose for walking worthy. God is creating a new body of people, isn't he, on this earth? A new body of people to live together in love and unity of his Son. In love and unity of his Son. My, what a privilege we have of being part of that body of the Lord Jesus Christ. To live and to walk the way he wants us to live and to walk while we're here. Yes, we do not live for Christ to get something, folks. We don't live for Christ to get something. Watch out with the TV stuff. We don't live for Christ to get something. We live for Christ because he's done so much for us. He's done so much for us. That's the purpose of living the Christian life, because of what he's done for us. Notice in verse number 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That word endeavoring means to be diligent. That's working to take care of it. It takes work to be the Christian that we ought to be. It takes work. It takes prayer. It takes Bible reading. That's work, folks. That's work to be what we ought to be. I'm not just a Christian because I say I'm a Christian. It takes work for me to be a Christian. Now, I'm saved because of the grace of God. Don't take me wrong. But it takes work to be what we ought to be as Christians. It doesn't come natural. This flesh don't want to live that way. It don't want to live that way. And it won't live that way by itself. It really won't. It takes work. Work to do our best. Work to do it fast. Work at keeping peace and harmony, unity with God. You know, we're not to make unity. Christ makes that. But we are to maintain unity in our life as a Christian. That's peace and harmony. We're to maintain it, you see. And we see that so much. So the church is fellowship. It's a fellowship of faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love as a church, as believers today. Thank God today for this. The believer, to believe Christ, will return his faith. To expect to meet him is hope. And then to invite others to him is love. Is love. Faith, hope, and love in our lives as children of God. You know, you sing the song we have in the past. We haven't sang the song in a long time. It's Blessed Be the Tie That Binds Our Hearts in Christian Love. Blessed Be the Tie is the name of it. It's in our hymn books, page 154. There's something, folks, that unites us together as believers. And it's the Spirit of God that indwells all of us. I'm glad that God enables us, once He saves us, to be what we ought to be, to encourage others to know Christ as we know Christ. And it's all about Him. It's all about Him. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to talk about verses 4 through 6. 4 through 6, we're going to look at some reasons why we should walk worthy and keep peace and unity of God's Spirit in the church. Why should we? Why should we? We're going to talk about how we as believers are one. We're all believers are one. We'll run in a lot of areas here as we talk about it in verses 4 through 6. Read it, study it, pray about it, pray for us. And we trust as we go through this about the practice of the Christian life that we'll grow together. We know who we are in Christ. We know our position. Now how we're to live the life, how we're to practice, it's very, very important. Let's pray. Father, thank you for life. Thank you for the Word of God you've given to us to read, to study together, to learn together. Father, I pray now, Lord, as we look at this, Lord, this life as a Christian, how we're to live what we've learned as who we are in Christ. God, I pray you give us direction. I pray, God, you'd help us. Lord, as we look in this new year now, Lord, we have a new year ahead of us, unless Jesus comes or He takes us home individually. But Lord, until then, we have day by day to live for you. God, I pray you'd help us. Lord, may we practice what we say. We may practice what we relate to others that we are by being in God's house with your children. So Father, help us to be what we ought to be. Lord, help us bring honor and glory to you in our lives. Lord, as we go now to the next service, we ask you, dear God, to bless our pastor. Lord, anoint him afresh and anew today. Give him strength physically, mentally, emotionally. Lord, to proclaim the word that you've laid upon his heart. God, give us illumination in our minds and our hearts also, that we might receive from you what you have for us. Help that one that's lost to be saved today, dear God. Lord, we ask you now, Lord, just to help us and lead us in all we say and do. And thank you for each one that's here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.